This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
So I'm here with Mike and Esme in a park with a piano. Hello.
Hello. This park used to be a prostitute park, and then it was Zeal, the youth club, and now it's just kind of here.
With piano.
Lovely. Yeah. You've both just come from a radio show. Tell me a bit about that.
No.
Well, we host a radio show called Queer Zone on Wellington Access Radio.
It's a very inventive name. We chose it for its originality.
It's part of a group of shows called Youth Zone, which are about radio made by youth for youth. And they wanted a queer-specific one because there's lots of just general youthy ones. And so we...
Youthy.
Well, you asked us, actually. You got approached to... ask someone and you chose us to
yes ask. That's correct,
because we are pretty magnificent, aren't we?
So tell me about how I asked you.
Well, you said, would you guys like to do a queer show, and we said sure, and then we did,
and we've been doing it for I guess about a year now.
I think
something.
So I'm not entirely sure about the dates. I've always forgotten.
And we've had various people come along and do it with us. We used to have Maria. She did it with us for several months.
And Yulia, who did it for a couple of days.
Yeah, and then earlier this year I had to stop doing it for a while because of school, but we've just recently changed time slots, so now I'm back. But we had Brendan for a while, and he's still around.
And I've basically been getting in... Brendan's been my permanent fixture along with me, but we've also been getting in a different person every week. Just not even a special guest, really, just a random... co-facilitator
but
thing.
we do try and get interviews and guest spots from people who are kind of something to do with the queer community,
or just something
in support of the queer community, or something that's just of interest.
Like today we had two people from a musical come along, and they weren't you know, it's not a particularly queer focused musical, but, you know, it was...
But you just like musicals.
I love musicals, so I thought, why the hell not?
And, I mean, plenty of people like musicals. And they were saying the musical has, like, a slightly queer sub-story to it anyway.
So what else? So did you just have interviews, or was there other stuff?
We do weekly segments that we have, and we do it every week. Like, we have celebrity crushes, and normally we have a boy and a girl, but that's sort of flexible to our desires and our lasciviousness of the day.
Today I had four crushes.
Four.
So,
she's,
you know,
greedy. She's greedy. Also, we have a thing called Dear Madonna, which we sort of talk about what's pissed us off that week in a light and humorous way.
Yeah.
And we have, there's something else, top five.
Top five.
And we normally pick something and we do a top five of it. Like, we will have top five favourite Disney movies or top five favourite bands or something. And today it was top five favourite pink things to tie in with Pink Shirt Day.
Mm. Oh.
And we also, we play a lot of music and just kind of, we just hang out and we just talk, really. And it's, we don't necessarily sit down and go, okay, we're going to talk about this queer issue or whatever. We talk about whatever's going on for us at the time. And because we're all queer, we all come from a queer perspective. That obviously plays a slant. And, I mean, I don't think we want to make it overly queer because, I mean...
We want everyone to be able to listen. We don't want people to tune in and be like, oh, they're talking about anal sex again. I don't want to listen to this, you know.
And plus, I mean, I can only talk from a personal point of view, but I mean, I'm queer, but it doesn't dictate my entire life, you know? I mean, it's like a lot of people say, a lot of bands who are classed as like Christian bands talk about how they come from a Christian life view, and so that obviously influences their music, but they don't classify themselves as a Christian band. I see that the same way with my sexuality. It's like I come from a queer perspective, but that doesn't mean that everything I do is queer, you know?
I think that the point of it is more that we want the ability to sort of make talking about queer things okay, rather than having to talk about queer things.
Yeah.
I think we want it to be a place where people can listen if they want to for queer stuff, or, you know, it's just a really relaxed show, and I think that's one of our main attributes.
It's not preachy, and that's good, because so much stuff that's aimed at queer people is really preachy.
Yeah, and
you
it's
know?
Like, we want marriage and children, and we're just like, we want, you know, to talk.
We want
to be able to bullshit for hours.
So do you think being queer today for both of you, has changed? Oh, well, I guess you went around then, so you wouldn't know, but...
Yeah.
Well, back in my day...
I think, I mean, a lot of the stuff I've heard about, especially with like the queer rights movements and stuff like that, you had to stand up and say, "This is who I am. I am a gay man or a lesbian woman or whatever, and this is all that I am, and I have to stand completely behind that." And I think now, because there is so much more acceptance, I mean, it's
still not awful.
There's still a lot of problems, but I mean, I think it's more about
what would be the problems.
School, mainly, I think.
I think
that being queer in school is one of the hardest things, and I've heard that even from people of the older generation, or like, you know, who have just come out recently. They were like, coming out at school or being queer at school would be the hardest, or has been the hardest thing.
Even in 2010?
Oh, well, definitely.
Yeah, the thing that I always say is that high school especially is like, it's a microorganism of what society is like, you know? It's this tiny enclosed
world.
It's a tiny enclosed little world with all these people who are, they're like a hyper version of everything they would be in the outside world. You know, everything's so much more intense within high school, and there's so many more lines drawn, you know? You have to be this or you're that. Yeah. Or, you know, or you can't be that. Because then you can't be that, you know, like that.
Because I kind of thought there was this, not a stereotype, but a perception that schools today or young people today were really, really open and really, no boundaries, not no gender, but really fluid and that kind of thing.
School environments are very judgmental and they're very compartmentalised. You have to...
Well, does it depend on your school as well?
Well,
To an extent, but I still think that it's a hard thing to be out at school because they are so based on stereotype. Mm. And everyone at school, everyone's a bastard, you know?
Kids are cruel.
Yeah, even at school, I was a total
arsehole.
So did
you both have a hard time? Well, you're still at school, isn't
you? No, I'm at uni. Yeah.
Oh, you're at uni.
I didn't have too bad a time, but I mean, I've always been one of those people who sort of like stood separate from the crowd and didn't really care. There are a lot of people who do care and take all that stuff to heart. And I mean, just to go back to the previous point, I mean, a lot of people do think that school today is a lot easier because they look at society and they see that it's so much easier than when they were young, but no one understands what being a high schooler now is like unless they are one.
Yeah.
And I mean, society can be, you know, a lot more accepting or not openly opposed or anything, but school is, you know, it's not going to change for a long time unless a lot of stuff is done, you know?
So is being queer kind of not an issue anymore now that you're not at school?
It is an issue, and I think that it's like, you know, homophobia is like racism. It's always around, and, you know, it's bad form to...
So you might not get beaten up in the street, but people still...
And it's bad form to insult it, and, you know, everyone frowns upon it, but I think that everyone still has these little prejudices and little, you know, ideas of what things should be, and it's very hard to see outside of what their ideas are.
Mm.
And I think that's the main problem.
And I think it's almost worse now, because, I mean, when it was clear that you couldn't come out or else you'd get the crap beaten out of you or whatever, you knew where the boundaries were, you knew where the lines were, you knew how that worked. But now, because it's so pushed under the carpet because you're not supposed to say, hey, I hate gay people or whatever, I think it's a lot more vicious and a lot more poisonous because it is those secret whispers, it is those behaviours that you can't pinpoint and say, that's homophobia. Because, you know, people don't want to show that they're homophobic.
But it still affects you, or you can still tell?
Well, it's still behaviour that stems from homophobia, but, I mean, no one does it blatantly enough.
Kind of like what? Is it a look, or do people
kind of... Well, when I came out, the thing I had a problem was suddenly I had a lot more friends, like, when I came out, and I was sort of looking around, and I was sort of, you know, they still were uncomfortable with a lot of queer things that I said, and I think that they suddenly sort of attached themselves to me so that they could look accepting, even if they not necessarily were.
Yeah.
So was it kind of like they were, because they were friends with you, therefore they couldn't be homophobic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it excuses all their behaviour?
I think also the other side of the coin is people sort of deciding not to be friends with you, and it's not necessarily outright said it's because you're gay, but I mean, it's kind of.
So has that happened to you?
Or? Yeah, I've had a lot of the girls at my school wouldn't be friends with me or would sort of avoid me because I came out really young. I came out in year 10,
which is 14.
That's 14. For me, I was 13, but and it's sort of so that sort of coloured who I was all through school, and there were girls who would just not get to know me, even though I was friends with their friends. They would purposefully not get to know me. If we're hanging out in the group, they would avoid me because they didn't want to know, you know?
But another thing for me was it was like, I had people who were like, well, I'm fine with gay people, but he rubs it in my face, so I don't want to have to deal with him. And I'm like, I have a right to talk about my boyfriend occasionally. I think that's it. If you talk about who you're with, or if I said to someone, oh, I have a crush on this guy and I think he's really cute,
they see that as rubbing it in your face rather than just talking about your life.
Yeah, they'd see that as me sort of dancing semi-naked going, I'm gay, I like it up the bottom.
It's also that other thing of like, I would find if I would ever admit to having a crush on a straight girl, everyone would be like, but she's straight, you can't have a crush on her. It's like, you know, I've had a crush on guys who I've later found out to be gay, you know, it doesn't stop me from having a crush on them. And people just kind of, I don't know, they just want you to stick to your own kind and not really talk about it. Like, they're okay with it in theory, but when it's in practice,
And then there's also the, I'm gay. Oh, do you have a crush on me? No. Well, why not?
It's
a major double standard.
I remember very clearly when I was, I think it was fourth form.
And, memory lane.
We're having a party. We're all hanging out at my friend's place. And we're playing, do you know the game Gay Chicken?
No.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
You start in someone's foot and you start touching them.
Yeah.
You can either start at their foot and work your way out, or you can get close to like kiss or whatever, and the person who pulls away first is the gay chicken.
For some reason, I always won.
You do it with someone of the same gender?
And me and this girl, who's actually quite a good friend of mine, were picked to go, and I remember really clearly we were getting really close, and then she was like, no, I can't do it, you'll get off on it. And I was like, excuse me?
I already have.
But it's like, she's one of my best friends. I mean, I don't see her sexually at all, but she couldn't separate that line. I mean, she had really close guy friends and she couldn't understand that it was the same thing for me, you know? And I think it's kind of that assumption that...
It's kind of sad, really.
Yeah, it's that assumption that you'll immediately like every guy or every girl, you know? Which is ridiculous.
And then there are some of us who actually do like everyone.
What are the kind of things that you'd like to change in society if you were, I don't know, given a magic wand or something?
I think I would even the expectations for queer people and straight people. You know, like, a straight person isn't always expected to have a boyfriend or to always be talking about, you know, like, change those expectations and also change the sort of the...
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase this next thing. You talk for a bit.
It's sort of... Okay, I'll talk out of my ass. No, I think what Esme is trying to say is that, like... Or what I'm trying to say, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for you.
Speak for me if you want, go for it.
No, I won't, because I'll be wrong. and you'll tell me that. I think, for me, I sort of don't want to lose the difference or the quirkiness that gayness is seen as, because I kind of like that. I like the fact that we're sort of our own thing. Lots of people are like, we want to just be into normal society, and I'm sort of like, well, no, I want to be seen as a sub thing of society. I want to be seen as the queer community, because I like the gay community and I like it being as it is, but it would be nice to see it, as Esme was saying, accepted and like. So if I came out to someone, they wouldn't think I would instantly like them.
And it wouldn't be like, oh, I have a cousin who's gay. Would you like me to set you up, you know? Yeah.
And it's like, you know, all gay people have sex, so they don't think that, you know, I'm going to go out and have sex every night. And, you know, I'd like to be seen as gay, but I don't want to be seen as fitting a stereotype or anything. I don't want them to go, oh, he's gay because he acts like this and he looks like this. I want to be known as... he's gay because he likes guys.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the...
I think it should also be changed on, like, straight guys who are a little bit camp shouldn't be immediately assumed to be gay, you know? And I think, just coming back to what you're saying about keeping the community, I think it
We're like really... a news interview. Coming back to what you were saying, sorry.
Well, I think it's like...
Will you tell us about the weather as well?
Well,
my name is Sunny Showers.
There are a lot of ethnic groups who are a part of society, but they also have their own community and their own celebrations and their own... So I think it should be like that. Like, yeah. I mean, it's perfectly okay to be German in a New Zealand society, but you might also go and, you know, wear Lederhausen and, you know, do strange dances with your family, and that's okay. I think it should be like that for gay people. Like, it's okay to be gay at work or wherever, but you can still go and, you know, dance with a bunch of guys or girls or whatever, and it'd be fine.
You'd know this too, because you're from Malaysia. Is it Malaysia? Yeah, and, you know, you identify as Malaysian New Zealander and as a queer woman, and, you know, being Malaysian New Zealander is its own thing. You're not just a person, you're a person who is also a thing. It should be like, I'm a person who is also gay.
Yeah.
So how do you involve yourself with the queer community or the gay community?
Lots of sex and drugs.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, mass orgies.
We go to high schools and we recruit as well. That's a big part of our job.
We're big Satanists.
We have massive orgies and human sacrifice. No.
Oh, great. So all of that. And so you obviously do
the radio
zone.
Show. We do the radio show. We do the radio show.
We're technically on the committee for Wellington Gay Welfare Group. Out Wellington. Yeah. But we never go.
Yeah.
But we're on the committee.
We both volunteer at Out in the Square every time.
Yeah,
I do stage managing for it. And I've done stage managing for other queer theatre stuff. I think for me, more than being, oh, I'm a part of this committee and I do this and that.
Oh, sorry.
No. I mean, that's good too. I'm absolutely not dissing that, because that's a really powerful thing to be using those tools to, you know, work for all the things that we would love to have. But I think for me, more part of being part of the queer community is going to things like Schools Out, which is the youth support group we are part of, and just sort of, I think it's just about socializing with other people who identify as queer, people who sort of get that part of your life, you know?
It's totally a social thing. It's like, you know, if you're a pregnant woman, you want to go to pregnant woman groups and meet up with other pregnant women so that you can connect. I don't know why I'm using pregnant women as an example.
So queer is a temporary state.
No, but, you know, like being
temporary medical condition.
Or like being... I'm trying to be serious for once in my life, and you're ruining this for me.
I'm sorry, serious business faces.
What was I saying? So yeah, but it is like being German. You would want to go in a certain group and wear lederhosen all day.
So it's like a socialising thing and meeting other people.
But there is also the charity aspect. Like if you
so is volunteering important for you?
Totally.
I think it's for me, it's important, but not as a queer person, but as a humanitarian. You know,
I do it because it's fun. And it's a way to meet new people. I go out and I collect for AIDS Day. Esme and I both do it. And, you know, you get in the room and you meet all these people you've never met before, and you can use it as a socialising tool as well as doing good for other people.
Mm.
And that's sort of how we're in the queer community. Just by being our nutty selves and, like, being in the things.
I don't think you have to, like, you don't have to go to gay bars, or you don't have to volunteer at AIDS Day or whatever to be
a good queer person. It's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah,
we're not going to judge.
But those aren't requirements for it, but it's just it's things you can do to sort of be a part of the community.
But you do have to take a test.
You get a report card.
And a license.
Yeah.
And it tells you, you know.
Do you get tested on?
Well, whether you like the colour lavender is a big one. Spice Girls and pop music.
Hot pink.
Yeah. You've got to be able to, you know, be able to see someone with a big dick from 10 miles away. You've got to be able to, you know.
I can't do that. Does that just count me?
If you're a gay woman, you can't shave your legs. And if you're a gay man, you have to shave your legs. So both of us are out, I think.
So talking about stereotypes, do you think they still exist? I mean, you know, obviously mainstream still is a thing. But do we have it within queer communities as well?
Within queer communities.
And how's that different from what mainstream does?
Like, you know, you'll see all the... Like, you see lots of people and they're like, oh, she's she's trans, you know, I don't like her because she's trans and she freaks me out, or you know, he's a drag queen, so he must be a bottom and he must, you know, do all this stuff and he must not be a proper man, and you know.
So we're still prone to a lot of the same
stereotypes. And also because I am fat, I'm a bigger build, I'm a fuller-bodied male, I'm instantly put into the bear category. And it's like, I'm not a bear, I'm not a walking carpet. You know, it's just, there are still the bears and the twinks and the mega femmes and the whatever they are.
And for me, I come from a point of view where I justify myself as queer, but I am attracted to males and females. I date both males and females. And I think
greedy.
I think the straight community think queer girl who wears docs immediately, I'm a lesbian, you know. And if a guy ever does want to date me, it's just because I'll have sex with girls in front of him or something, you know. I've actually had that experience of people expecting that of me. And in the queer community, I always get called a fag hag. I've had that quite a lot, or I'm straight but pretending, or I'm just experimenting or whatever like that. And it's like, actually, no, I've known I've liked girls since I was a kid, but I do like boys as well, you know.
What do you think's up with kind of all the judgments, all the assumptions?
I think that...
Are people just bored?
From the queer community, I think, because a lot of us feel that we've been judged our whole life, I think that we sort of feel it gives us a right to judge others, and that extends to people in our community. Mm. I think that a lot of people who judge in the gay community... So, like, say, if Esme and I were really judgmental and, you know, we were like, oh, this person but, you know, if we were, like, stereotypical and, like, oh, this person has to be a bear or this person has to be a twink, if we were like that, then I think we would be judging straight people just as much as we judge gay people. I think it is sort of a defense mechanism.
I think, especially from the queer community, a lot of the feeling I've got is that it was so hard to get acceptance, and you had to stand up and you had to say, I am a man who loves men, I am a woman who loves women, you know. And I think that battle was so hard for so many years. I think someone coming along who could fit into the norm of society or could go the other way, it's sort of like, you don't deserve to be a part of this community because we've fought so hard to form this community and we want to keep it safe, you know. And I think there's a lot of that worry that it's going to start breaking down the integrity of what they fought so hard for. And, I mean, I kind of understand that, but at the same time, I really don't.
When I first came out, I came out as bisexual because I thought that...
How old were you?
When I came out the first time? When I told myself when I was 11 that I was bisexual, in quotation marks, and I came out to most of my school... I came out to my friends when I was 11 as bisexual. Then when I was 15, I came out to all my school as bisexual. And then when I was 16, I realized that I was gay and I came out as gay. So when I came out as bisexual, I thought I'd do that because I thought it would be easier, because that way I would at least be perceived as half normal, you know, not that normal, blah, 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 you know. But also, when I was bisexual, I found out about Schools Out, and I was like, well, I don't need to go to that because I'm not actually gay, and I'm not, I sort of felt like I wasn't worthy enough to go to it because I was bisexual, not gay, and it was a gay group.
So this is like a big ranking system.
Yeah.
I am not finished.
I just say one tiny thing.
I'll forget.
No, when I first came to Schools Out, I was scared about saying I was bisexual because for that same thing. So you were thinking...
But had you met gay people before who had said
no,
but it was just a perception, and then
I thought it would be easier, and then when I came out as gay and I was like, I'm gay, I realised that it was actually a hell of a lot more difficult to be bisexual, because you sort of get fired at from the gay community and the straight community, and it's like the straight community are like, you're not one of us, we don't want you, and the gay community are like, you're not one of us, we don't want you, and then you're like, well, maybe I'm trans, and the trans are like, nah, fuck off.
So you're like, an unwanted puppy. Yeah.
I definitely find that as well. Like, because I just say queer. Part of why I just say queer is because if I say bisexual or pansexual or whatever, there is that attitude. And when people find out, hear me talking about hot guys or whatever, they're just like, ah. There's this moment where they're like, oh, so you're not one of us. podcast, you know. And I won't name any names, but I was working
on... It was me, I'm sorry.
I was working on this project with a bunch of other queer people, and I never said I was a lesbian to anyone, you know. They just assumed because I said queer. And when the person who was in charge of this project found out that I wasn't a lesbian but was attracted to all genders, he kind of went a bit funny about that. And then he talked to Brendan, my youth worker, about that and was asking him questions and asking him what he thought about it behind my back. And I was like...
So there was a bit of education work to be done.
But I was like, how is that even relevant? I'm here working in a semi-professional capacity. I'm definitely queer. I'm definitely part of the community. I mean, it's not even relevant.
And technically it wouldn't even be any of his business. Even if you are gay, it doesn't give you a right to question.
But was it a little bit more of kind of, wow, I've never met anybody who didn't identify as gay or straight? Or was it like, how new and fantastic?
It was a,
that's really whack.
I don't believe you.
And I think a lot of it is also, when they do believe you, you're also perceived as greedy or just...
You don't think it's a young person thing, as in, oh, you're so young, you wouldn't know, you haven't made up your mind? Do you think it's definitely a bisexual or a pansexual or a queer?
I think it's more a prejudice against people who do, like, who aren't just gay, you know? And I think there's this perception of being fake, or being indecisive, or being...
Or just experimenting.
Yeah.
How do the rest of your friends, when you came out to them, how did they all...
Most of my friends were really good. One of them went a bit funny for a while, because he was like... And I've known him all my life, and he was... I think mainly he was like, well, why didn't you actually say anything before? And I think a lot of it was he was hurt that he wasn't the first to know, or... Because I didn't tell him first, because he was my best mate, and it was going to be a hell of a lot harder to tell him this. So I think a lot of it was the hurt, but mainly from my friends and close group of friends, they knew that I was sort of thinking about it, and I think most of them were okay. Some of them, I think, are still uncomfortable with it, and they try to hide it with sort of humour. But they at least put up the front of being accepting, and you know, no, but you know,
make it till you make it.
Yeah, they're not. They're not sort of, I hate gays, they're just sort of uncomfortable and they don't know how to deal with it, even though I've been out for years. And they're starting to come up, you know, be fine with it. But it was like, they're like, well, you're gay, and they sort of mask it with humour. And they're like, you know, if I say something attractive about a girl, and they're like, but you're gay, she doesn't have a penis.
Yeah.
You know, just weird shit like that. And it's fine, they are trying.
I think for me, I was the second in my group of friends to come out as bisexual, and I was quite new to the group of friends, and this other girl who had come out she'd been friends with these girls since she was like 5, you know, and so whatever she said, they were going to have to accept her. And when I came out, it was like they understood they would have been hypocritical if they weren't okay with it with me, but I think... It's one of the things that has always kept me a little bit distant from that group of friends is them not knowing how to deal with that. You know, I'm not their friend, they've known since they were 5, so they don't know me well enough, and that's kind of, it's always been sort of, yeah, a slight thing that's sort of gotten between the friendships. But I mean, I had really close friends when I was a kid, but all through high school I didn't really have really close friends until I came to schools out, because apart from one girl, I just never really clicked with people on that level. And I think a lot of that was the queer thing, was that people immediately sort of got this idea about me and kept their distance.
I think that one of the hardest things for a lot of straight people is sort of the feeling that that they have to accept it. It's just sort of like, you know, they're like, I have to accept it, and they don't really get time to actually think about it and come to terms with it themselves. They're just, because, you know, homophobia is seen as wrong in most circles, so a lot of people, they may feel uncomfortable about it, and they may have natural prejudice, and they're like, well, I actually feel this, but I have to act like I'm totally cool with it. And I think that can be hard for a lot of people.
And also when they bottle it up and not push it down, that it becomes more toxic.
They have to come to terms with it.
So do you think there should be like a straight people group?
I think
a straight people support group for coming to terms with
their groups. There are groups for parents, aren't there? Yeah. So why can't there be groups for friends?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think it's a huge bombshell to drop on anyone. I mean, no matter how we feel that it shouldn't be, because it shouldn't be.
Everybody still assumes that everybody's straight.
Yeah.
Unless they're told otherwise or...
And it shouldn't be this big bombshell, but the fact is that it is. And I think a lot of queer people get defensive when they come out because it's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anyone isn't immediately like, oh, my God, you're gay, that's so fantastic, it's a hard thing to deal with. Yeah. And I think when people have to fake that, it's really hard for them.
Did any of you?
Which ones?
Of you?
Who are you talking to?
All of
you. Imaginary friends.
Did either
of you? Hey guys, come in here.
Struggle with yourselves with coming out?
I think for me, the hardest thing was, I always knew that I was attracted to both genders, and I think for me there was this attitude coming from somewhere that you had to be straight or gay. And that was the thing I struggled with for a few years, was like, I can't just be a lesbian, I can't just be straight, I can't fit into those. And that was hard. And then actually in sex ed classes, the idea of bisexuality got introduced, and then I was like, okay, I have a label now, I'm okay. And after that, I was fine with myself. It was that not knowing that it was an option that was hardest for me.
Yeah, I came out as bisexual because I thought it would be normal. I didn't want to be seen as fully gay. But apart from that, and it was only a very vague notion in my head that I didn't want to be seen as fully gay, you know, because it wasn't a decision going, I don't want to be gay, because I didn't click that I was gay until later. I think it was a subconscious thing. I was going, I don't want to be seen as gay. Yeah. but really, apart from that minor vague sort of notion in the back of my head, I was fine with it within myself. I'm too arrogant. I love myself too much to give a rat's ass.
God, so you've both got healthy self-esteem.
I think that's two
that's
of the,
one word for it.
I think that's two of the things that make us as so confident and able to do things like the radio show and be so welcoming at schools out, which we are.
And it's what makes us be such great friends as well, I think.
Yeah, is because we've always just had this confidence about that. I mean, we've both had minor struggles, but it's never been a huge thing. And I mean, I absolutely have sympathy for people for whom it is a huge thing, and I really
empathize,
you know,
and you can totally understand everything that they're going through. It's just it never affected us as badly in a lot of ways.
Well, I've had similar struggles with different issues in my life, so I can empathize with that. So.
And that's fantastic that you are both kind of out there with in all these committees and on the radio and everything, so that, you know, that's kind of that whole role model thing, so people can see.
Well,
we don't have to be sad queers. We can be happy queers.
So sick of the gay angst, man.
Yes, every gay film is like, okay, angst.
Is it a bit 2009?
Well, actually, this movie I was actually talking about on the radio today. All Over the Guy has no angst about being gay. All the angst is about the fact that these two guys just can't seem to make it work, and one of them's an alcoholic.
I'm just saying. Relationship issues.
So tell us where we can listen to Queer Zone.
Don't. We always screw up.
Wellington.
So if we'd like to listen to you and laugh at you.
Wellington Access Radio, 7:83 AM. Mondays 3:30 till 5. It's Queer Zone. And we're also, you can find various stuff about us on the website.
We're on Facebook, Wellington Access Radio Queer Zone. And we also have an email address that you can email us at,
which is queeryouthonaccess@gmail.com. That's all lowercase, a case with no symbols. It's queeryouthonaccess@gmail.com.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Esme.
Thank you for listening.
Stay cool, New Zealand.
Stay queer.